This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasions.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball game is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Sauce after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
By the way, did you see Eric Musselman's shirt from last night in the press conference?
Yes, he had the Raising Cane's shirt on. And I only knew that because I think it was Tara or one of them that tweeted this.
Yeah, Tara Talmadge.
And I you had to really zoom in to pick it up, but it had the dog on it or whatever.
Yeah, and is it a handkerchief, an apron, whatever?
Handkerchief
anyway,
around the...
Yes, yeah. Sounds good enough to me. It had Raising Cane's on it because the students won Raising Cane's with scoring 75 last night. So I guess that's just the thing he does. He enjoys it, and
if you're a, I deal in advertising and sponsorships and stuff every day of my life. It's all at 8:59 when this show's over, that's what I do the rest of the day.
I thought you just did a show and refereed all the time.
That's all, I wish. And, as a client or a sponsor, if you're with the University of Arkansas in a sponsorship, that's just more added. Everybody likes to throw around the term added value. We're looking for added value.
Added value.
Well, that's just more added value and another reason to partner up with men's basketball in the University of Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when the head coach, the most visible person in the program, will sport your logo around every now and then in a press conference, it's powerful marketing.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I get it. I have no problem. I think it's cool.
Just wish we'd get him to wear one of our shirts.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, we just have to send him one. He can't wear it if he doesn't have one. Yeah. We'll write a check and, I don't know, we'll give him some free advertising.
Can you imagine the number of shirts that he's being sent these days by just random companies? Can't wear them all.
Yeah. But again, it's only sponsored ones at the U of A.
So. I'm not sure we make one in our repertoire here small enough for him. Saying that we're a little more physically developed around here at the Morning Rush Studios.
Think he's a medium? Medium, maybe?
At most.
Yeah. How much have you been around
him in person?
Oh, no, you can even tell by, and it's just funny because
he's not very big.
It also, since he coaches basketball, it's funny because he's usually surrounded by guys that are so much taller. He looks even smaller.
Exacerbates the problem.
Yeah, he looks even smaller there on the sidelines. But, if we are able to get him a shirt, though, and if he was able to wear it, I'm sure we would promote that and retweet it and all of that fun stuff. I'm sure that would be something. But we got to send him one. We got to send him a shirt, so.
I saw where his wife was on Twitter promoting a Must Bus shirt, I guess it was.
Yeah. There's Must Bus, and then they have the Muscle Mania.
At what point do they be in the university, the Gestapo up there? When do they copyright some of this, the Must Bus and Muscle Mania, some of these kind of phrases that have popped up?
How do you know they haven't already?
Well, maybe they have.
Yeah. No, come on.
All aboard the Must Bus.
You know the U of A. They ain't going to waste time on that type of thing.
We ought to beat them to the punch.
Make the call.
We would have the Must Bus.
Call the copyright office or whoever. I don't even know who you would call. And I guess you'd have to file
1-800-COPYRIGHT.
Yeah, do something like that and make that happen. Make some money on it if that was the case. But boy.
Good thing we're lazy down here.
Yeah, that's right, because we're probably not going to end up doing
probably
that.
Probably won't do it. But we're idea men. We got all the ideas. We just need people with initiative to carry them out.
Yeah, because we certainly don't have that. But the thing is that it doesn't really matter what he wears or his personality and all that, because he keeps winning. And
everybody's going to love him till he loses two or three in a row.
Yeah, and as long as he can keep winning, people are going to be all in about it. And I know that we mentioned that Arkansas's game against Kentucky is upcoming this Saturday, and Kentucky lost last night to South Carolina. So you're sitting down look at the SEC standings as of right now. LSU's on top because they're the only undefeated team in the SEC. They're 4-0, 12-4 overall. Auburn lost last night to Alabama, got killed by Alabama, 19 points. So 15-1 there overall, 3-1 in conference. Arkansas's 3-1 conference, 14-2, just a game behind Auburn. And as far as overall records go, and then Kentucky's 12-4, 3-1 in conference. Florida 11-5, 3-1 in conference. So you have a four-way tie.
Okay, just run down the conference standings here. So Auburn's at the top.
No, LSU's at the top.
LSU, okay,
because they're 4-0. And then Auburn, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Florida are all 3-1.
Boy, you talk about a big Saturday in the league.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I mean, that's It's right now because it's still really early in the conference slate. But as of right now, I mean, this is
by next week though. You're a third of the way through.
That's right. That's right. And then a week from Saturday, you have TCU coming to your house, which you step out of the conference slate. Which, as far as your tournament,
but a lot of other teams do too.
Right. Right. But I'm saying that you have another team that you can maybe build upon.
No, you're right. You're right. That's a good net rankings opportunity. So, because ultimately, that's the metric that I think matters the most. Now, you can't get there without probably being, can't be where you want without being 10, 11, 12 wins in this league. Yeah. What should be the goal now, John? Knowing what we know, let's recalibrate our expectations right now. So what should be the goal for conference wins? Out of 18, how many should you now expect?
Well, I'll tell you what, Tommy. Let's do this. I got the rest of the conference schedule right here in front of me. So that'll give us a little bit of a better ballpark estimate that we can make when it comes to what to expect in wins and losses. Of course, upcoming is Kentucky.
Okay.
I mean, I would feel, again, I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping I'm wrong beyond belief. But I just feel like Arkansas, it's going to be tough for them to win that game. Yeah, just because Kentucky is...
Kentucky had beaten South Carolina, I'd say dub.
Yeah, but... Losing two in a row, if you're Kentucky.
I've never wanted to be more wrong in my life.
Yeah, I hope to goodness I am so wrong about that. But just, we'll give Kentucky the benefit of the doubt there, so that's a loss. Then Arkansas goes to Mississippi State. They've been struggling this year. I feel like it's going to be a win. They're not a very good team this year.
Teams with their backs to the wall in this league are doing well.
I understand, but.
If Arkansas is going to lose to LA or to Kentucky, they beat Mississippi State.
Yeah, I got it there, too. And then they have TCU, which I know we're talking about more conference slate, but I think they beat TCU because it's at home. I, you know, there's just all something about it. They go, then they have South Carolina at home. I think that's a win. South Carolina's always going to be a tough team, low-coach team.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's going to be a hard game.
It's going to be a tough game, but I still think, again, home game, Arkansas wins it. Then they go on the road to Alabama. Tommy, man, I think that's a win.
That's a win.
Then... Tuesday, Auburn at home.
Win.
Oh, all right. So you're feeling good. I'm leaning towards win as well. On the road to Missouri?
Sue's struggling.
I know.
Loss.
You got a loss for Arkansas? Struggling?
They'd won three. They'd won two, three, five in a row at that point. They're due.
Okay. All right. That's fine. We'll go with that. At Tennessee.
And here's the thing. As far as trying to come up with a number, they'll probably go 1-1 with the Auburn-Missouri game or something like
that. Yeah, I mean, and that's fair. That's fair. Right. We could take that. At Tennessee, I got that as a loss.
Okay.
Mississippi State at home, I have a win.
All right.
At Florida, I got a loss because they never, ever win.
Well, that Florida. That's true.
For some reason, they just never win at Florida. Missouri at home, I got a win.
Yep.
Tennessee at home, they avenge it. They get a win. At Georgia's a loss. Georgia's actually pretty good this year. They got a great player there. LSU at home? I think Arkansas wins it because they don't lose to LSU twice in a season, ever. I think they'll get the revenge game on that.
Loss.
All right, take that. And then at A&M.
Win.
Okay. I was going to say that one's going to be a loss because of a matchup that it may be. So if I'm looking at what I had, at least, I don't know if you'll probably have something similar. I got five losses left on the schedule. With 15 games, I got five losses. So I have them going 10-5 the rest of the way.
I got six.
Okay.
So we're in the same ballpark.
So, yeah. So I have them going 10-5 the rest of the way, which would put them, if I'm doing my math, again, I hate math.
3-10 is 13, right?
Tommy, do I really have them at 24 wins? I have them at 24-7. I have them at 24-7.
Going to Nashville.
Going to Nashville. Is that too optimistic? Am I being way too optimistic?
That's why I tempered mine down just a little bit.
Yeah, you only got them going 23-7 instead.
Exactly.
Or 23-8.
Well, I mean, you know, again, we talked about this earlier in the show. We sat here preseason and said, man, if maybe they could do this and maybe that game falls this way, maybe 18-19 wins going to Nashville. So they won big because we didn't think they'd win at Indiana. We didn't think they'd win at Georgia Tech. We thought Western Kentucky was...
I didn't think they'd win at Oxford, personally.
Yeah. So, but they followed up a pretty decent performance in non-conference, and they've carried it over to this point in SEC play.
Mm-hmm. And I just don't see, even if these games have Arkansas losing, I don't even have them see them getting beat. Like, I don't see Arkansas losing by 20 on the road.
If they find a way to beat Kentucky Saturday, and God, I hope they do, we'll have them at 30 wins.
National
they're not going to lose again.
Book your tickets to the Final Four. Where is the Final Four this year?
Maybe we need to talk about blowing the lid off this thing.
Maybe we need to start looking at Final Four tickets here. Tommy, where's the Final Four at this year? Let's see how close it is. Let's see. Oh, my goodness, Tommy.
Is it in Muskogee?
It is in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, it's not Muskogee?
No. So may have to make that happen then if they end up being Kentucky. Start looking at some fight prices and whatnot.
Yeah, I was watching South Carolina, though, you know, Kentucky's beatable for Arkansas, not just because, oh, yeah, Tommy. But, I mean, just the matchup. The rebounding, the outside shoot. One thing that Kentucky did, though, or South Carolina did to Kentucky, is they took some of their three-point shooting away, and they were just big on the glass last night. I think this is a gettable game Saturday, not just because, but I think the matchups go well. So
I do, too. I think that what Arkansas is doing right now is they are able to counteract what the other teams are doing to them. And they're doing it as good as anybody in the league. And I know that you're just going to chalk it up to coaching, but it's the adjustments that get made, especially at halftime by Eric Musselman. And it's also, it's almost like a chess game. Like, Eric Musselman knows he's going up against good coaches in this conference, and he has a good conference all season long. And he knows that these other coaches are going to make the adjustments. He knows that these other coaches are doing scouting reports and going to know, hey, if you can slow down Mason Jones, if you can slow down Isaiah Joe, more than likely you're going to win. But he is counteracting those things and being able to find ways to get other players involved or to find other ways to get guys that maybe like are trying to go after Isaiah Joe and Mason Jones take away a three ball, finding some other way for them to score and other ways to succeed. It's just, they're a team that's not highly talented as far as NBA level talent, but they're multifaceted. Like, they have different elements that they can beat you with.
Well, and you're talking about the coaching, the preparation. We played a sound clip a couple of days ago after the weekend win at Ole Miss. And he was talking about a play. I don't know if we probably don't still have this on the soundboard this morning, but he's like, yeah, that was, and I'm not going to get it exactly right, but he goes, yeah, we ran that play. That was 143 trippy, and that's where we set up, and we do a double screen, and it's a pick and roll, and he goes through this explanation. He goes, it's a play we've run several times and trying to get, this shooter opening, and he goes to the, and he talks about it in a way and describes a play with an actual, like, play like you'd hear a football coach. Yeah, that was 36 trap left. Y banana Z, you know, like when you go back to old Gruden stuff, you know, and you hear some coaches call plays, but how many times, and again, just basing it on what we've heard before, we've never heard coaches here before, whether it was Anderson, Pelfrey, just keep going back. Even Nolan didn't, well, we ran this play, and maybe I'm putting too much stock into that, but I think that's a little more of that NBA approach. We got this play, and it's called this, and it has like a term, like you'd hear a play call in football. And
call it like shadow press, I think is what he used against Ole Miss when at the end of the game. He's like, yeah, we ran to this thing called shadow press. Oh okay. Yeah,
but, you know, defense, you hear, okay, we're going to run 2-1-2. Right. We're going to run man. We're going to run this, you know, 3-2 zone. We're going to, okay, those are a little more common. But offensive play calls, you just don't hear as much about them. Mm-hmm. That just kind of stood out to me the other day and tells you how structured, organized their practices are, that we're going to run this play and here's the name for it. I've just never heard a coach talk about it. He's just more open and transparent about this stuff that, and I'm not saying other coaches don't do. We just hear more about it from him, it seems like.
Yeah. Well, and it shows his confidence. He's not afraid of what people know what he's doing or what they're trying. Like, because the way that he coaches, it doesn't matter if he says it in this game because they change up terminology.
Right.
They do different. I mean, he is a veteran coach at different levels in different leagues that understands how to coach. And honestly, he doesn't care what it's become with him. Hey, we're not having to necessarily adjust to you. We're not the ones that's going to have to worry about you as much. You're the ones that's going to have to worry about us. Well, and that mentality is a cliched thing, but you can tell that he is so confident in what they're doing and how they handle it and what they call as far as offensive and defensively, that he's not necessarily overly concerned of what the other teams are doing. He's going to scout them. He's going to look at them. He's going to say, all right, this is what we need to do to slow them down. But he has a plan in place for his own team that if they execute that plan, they will win.
It's easy to be open and transparent and talk about things when you're way ahead in your own house money. Hey, let's go ahead and throw $2 out here in the middle of the table for the dealers. A little yo bet here or something, you know. Box cars for the dealers here. Yeah. It's easy to do that stuff when you're way up on house money. And right now, wouldn't you say he's up on house money right now?
Oh, my goodness. He has all the chips that he could possibly have. He's got they've got the complimentary luxury suite upstairs waiting for him because he's won so much money there. I mean, he can do no wrong right now. There's nothing he can do wrong. He can lose to Kentucky by 20. People are still like, all right, oh, yeah, we still love you.
He's rusty in Vegas vacation. He's got all the cars lined up.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's where it's easy to talk this way and be loose when you own house money. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's at right now. I love what's going on, though.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, and winning's fun. Winning's fun. And what makes it, I think, is so much more fun for Razorback fans is it's not expected. It was not expected this year. Tommy,
well, they were
not expected to be 14-2 at this point. I know they still got a long conference schedule, but they're doing it all without a player that's over the size of 6'7". And I know that you can make adjustments, and you've seen teams that have been able to make it to the Final Fours and Elite Eights and all that with having a bunch of guards. I mean, Auburn is a team that made it to the Final Four last year, and they didn't have a bunch of bigs down low.
But you don't see very many teams get to the Final Four without a five.
Yes.
Without someone, either a really strong power forward playing the four spot, or just nearly all of them have a big guy back to the basket, low post presence.
Mm-hmm.
You just go look at Final Four teams, there's not, and listen, we're not sitting here saying Arkansas is going to make the Final Four. We would all, you know, crawl over a mile of broken glass to get to the Sweet 16. That would be like, I mean, forget Final Four and all that. Just getting to the tournament
getting
to the second weekend would be just unimaginable right now.
It's been 25 years since you made it to that second weekend. So getting to that level would be just where everyone's would want to be. That's where everybody is kind of dreaming right now, is that next step for this program is to get back to the second weekend. And right now you have a team that honestly does not have any
24 or 20, but 96 was the last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, 96, so 24 years,
24
I guess.
Years.
25 sounded
You're
better,
making
though.
Me a year older than I actually am.
25 sounded better, though. But the point is that it's been a long time.
Hey, don't add a year to anything. You'll learn this someday, son.
Yeah.
You'll learn it.
The thing is that if they are able to get to the tournament this year, and I was talking to Ty about this last night, if they get to the tournament this year, say if they even win a game, like, and I'm not even saying going to the Sweet 16,
to get to the tournament.
But say they get to the tournament, even win a game, like you talk about next year, and with all these, if he's able to do it with this team, what happens when he gets all these highly regarded recruits in? These guys that everybody has been recruiting, everybody wants, and a lot of them looking like NBA caliber players. What's the expectation going to be? What's the pressure? What's the fun going to be like then? What's the fun going to be like when you actually have two or three guys that are over the size of 6'9",
mm-hmm.
which is what you're going to have next year with Connor Vanover being eligible and Jalen Williams here from Fort Smith. Like, what's that going to be like? You start putting all this together, and it's like, if he is doing that this year, if he's having that much success this year with this team, nothing against him, but what's it going to be like when he starts actually bringing in these big-time recruits, some guys with some size, some guys that can really be some matchup issues.
That's what I'm saying. He's on house money. He's exceeding expectations so greatly at this point, outperforming our expectations that, you know.
And, Tommy, if you're a Razorback fan, this is very unexpected in any regard. This is not supposed to happen.
We deserve it, John.
But this is not supposed to happen this way, Tommy.
We've suffered enough.
Yeah. Maybe the spring is going to be a great one for Arkansas.
You know why we deserve it?
Why?
Chad Morris. That's why we deserve it.
Man.
We've suffered enough.
Yeah. Fred Bielema and Chad Morris. Got kind of just molded into one, but especially Chad Morris.
Bielema won something.
Yeah, that's true. But the spring may be a great one for Arkansas athletics, especially with basketball and the way they're playing. Baseball was preseason ranked top 10 in most polls. I mean, this could be the turning
game.
Point. Yeah, the spring game down there in Little Rock. Can't wait to see that. But there are a lot of elements about this team that makes them easy to love and easy to enjoy. because as I was texting a buddy last night who was watching the game too, it was his first time to be able to go to a game last night. But he was saying, he's like, this team is not the most talented team, but the way that they just fight, and it's just they win, they're scrappy, they win ugly, but they still win. They still make plays. They're so fundamentally sound. They make very few mistakes, at least comparatively speaking to other teams. They're a well-coached team, yep, at the end of the day is what it's about. They are a well-coached team. And it is amazing what you can do and what Musselman's been able to do with this roster this year. And I don't see any reason why this team does not get to the tournament. And honestly, Tommy, I think Arkansas, if they do get to the tournament, they're going to be one of those teams that everyone's like, I don't want to play them.
I think you're right.
They travel. They're not a team that just won at home a lot and got lucky on the road. No, they're a team that can win on any court because of the way that they play. Nobody's going to want to play the Razorbacks come March.
Tired of your noisy neighbors? If you're looking to upgrade your apartment, your condo, your duplex, you need another bedroom, you need more space, maybe you're moving to another town, whether it's Northwest Arkansas, Little Rock, Hot Springs, Fort Smith, wherever it is in the state, or really anywhere around the country, Trinity Multifamily can help find you a new place to call home. If you're looking to do that, call them first, 479-452-1817. That's 479-452-1817, or go online to trinitymultifamily.com to search rental properties near you. Trinity Multifamily is your teammate in the real estate game.
Also, I know one thing that's awesome, that Jamario Bell got into the game last night. That poor guy.
They emptied the bench there.
They sure did.
Less than a minute.
He did get a stat. He got a rebound, but you could definitely tell that he is a football player out there. That is a football player out there playing basketball, which is fine. Hey, yeah. They need the help. They need the bodies. But it was just funny to see him get checked in there, and just seeing a defensive lineman out there is very comical. Very, very funny. But
he was a good high school basketball player.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
Junction City.
Musselman wasn't going to add him if he just had zero skill. Oh, big body. Yeah, come on. I mean, he's got to have skill to be out there and to be on this team. There's no question. But I feel like this is one of the few times I actually got to empty the bench this year.
And you wonder, could you have done that a minute or two sooner, given him
maybe
a few more possessions to actually do something?
Jimmy had to get 30, though.
I'll just tell you, that's hard. He and that's fine. And they know what they're doing a lot, but you know, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier this week and how you manage these guys and the attitudes in the locker room and trying to keep that rotation, and really about 9 players is what he's going to use. He's always going to have 3 or 4 on transfer years or redshirt years. Man, I'm telling you, it's just hard to go to practice every day. Bust your butt, lift those weights, follow the rules, do all you got to do and never get on the floor. So it's good to see those guys get a little small piece of cake for
him. Yeah, absolutely. And to have this team performing at this level that they are, that, you know, the minutes are going to be limited as it is, but, you know, get a little experience. It's always nice to see the benches empty at the end of the game because your team is up so big.
Feel good for those guys.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they work hard to just get crumbs.
That's right. I mean, you couldn't even tell what jersey number they are because they never take off warm-ups. I mean, that's usually how it goes. So it was good to see that, and hopefully you keep seeing it.
Saving all that laundry money, not having to wash those.
Yeah, because that's an important thing, is making sure that they don't have any more laundry money to go around at the U of A. We got another hour of the Morning Rush coming up next, and Tom Murphy's going to be joining us later in the show as well. Stay with us, folks. More of the Morning Rush coming up.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, available in black cherry, strawberry, lemon, lime, and mango.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas.
I wanted to bring up this storyline just to kind of to joke about it a little bit. I was trying to bring it up in the quick hitting headlines earlier in the show. But, you know, when we talked about the Odell Beckham Jr. handing out the cash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was caught on video. LSU
this
came out.
This has turned into a complete bleep show.
Yep. Because LSU, after the show yesterday, made an official statement saying, well, you know, it was fake money. He was just handing out fake money. Because if I know Odell Beckham Jr., I am sure he is one of those types that just walks around with fake folding money.
So that's even worse, because that means it was really staged. So let's entertain their idea for a moment here, that he was actually walking around with Monopoly money, fake bills to hand out.
He just sold his hotels on Illinois Avenue.
Right.
And he has cashed in the money.
Right. So this is even more sad and pathetic if that were indeed true, which none of us are dopes enough to believe that it was fake money. But just go with me for a minute and think about this. How sad a ploy that would be for Odell Beckham Jr. to be garnering the kind of attention that he's clearly trying to get for himself in this deal. Trying to steal part of the spotlight from the LSU players in this moment by doing it the way he did it. Let's just say it was fake money. That means this was the whole thing was set up.
Yep, from the get-go.
So how sad and pathetic is that for Odell Beckham Jr., who doesn't need help getting attention?
I think he's pretty well known.
To devise a plan or a ploy to get attention in that manner on the sideline after the games, on the field with LSU players. No one in their right mind, including the LSU officials, believed for 1 minute that wasn't real money.
It was 100% real.
Absolutely.
And in fact,
and even Joe Burrow said it was real.
Let's say, because Joe Burrow went on the Pardon My Take podcast and said, I'm not a student athlete anymore. So, yeah, it was real money.
Now, that can't be true either.
That it was real money?
No, that there's, hey, I'm not a student athlete anymore, so it doesn't matter. You know, now.
That's what he said.
I understand, but I don't think the NCAA is going to look at it quite in that light.
No, that's what.
I mean. You may not go back to class. You may start getting ready for the draft. You have darkened the last door of a study hall on campus at LSU in Baton Rouge. I understand that, but that's not the way the NCAA is going to view this.
No.
Or the SEC or anybody else investigating.
No. In fact, LSU later released a statement saying, we are aware of the situation regarding OBJ interacting with LSU student athletes and others unaffiliated with the team following the championship game Monday night. Initial information suggested that the bills that were exchanged were novelty bills. Information and footage reviewed since shows apparent cash may also have been given.
Who is the idiot that came up with the idea? Who is the idiot with LSU that came? Well, we'll just say it was fake money. Yeah, that sounds good.
Because they couldn't prove otherwise. At the time, they thought.
God almighty.
Because it's honest.
Who do they think we are out here?
Oh, I know, Tommy.
God almighty.
Tommy, these are the same people that thought that Cam Newton wanted $180,000 to go to Mississippi State, but he went to Auburn for free.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it's okay. I just really wanted to be an Auburn Tiger. No, we're not stupid.
You know who really is stupid? Because I guarantee if we tuned into Matt Moscona's show down there.
Oh, yeah.
There are LSU fans. There are Tiger Bait Juniors down there saying, oh, yeah, absolutely. I can tell you that's fake money. There's no way. And totally defending this to the hilt.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's more pathetic if it was fake money.
Oh, no, it's 100% worse.
It's worse if it was fake money.
Yeah, because then it really just shows the whole indication of what you truly wanted out of it, and it was just OBJ trying to get attention.
Okay, so what comes of this?
Nothing, probably. Nothing.
They're not going to
What should come of it?
Well, I mean, they should have to vacate the national title, John. That's exactly it. Just give it back.
Could you imagine if that happened?
Well, that's not going to happen, nor should it happen. I think the obvious solution here is the players take the... Here's what they're going to do. Mark this down. The money that was given to him, which, how do you document that? Was it $50, $500, $300, $3,000? I don't know. You know, so they'll come up with some number that's believable. Yeah, this guy got $300, and this guy got $400, and this guy got $150. They're going to have to donate it to charity.
Of their choosing?
A charity of their choosing, John. Mm-hmm. Because that'll make it all right.
The human fund. As George Costanza always said, we could donate to the human fund, directed over here to the Morning Rush, if you needed to. I mean, we'd take it. But, because that was the thing I was trying to think about in this story. It's like, what's actually going to happen? And I just don't see anything happening.
Oh, I mean, that's what's going to happen. A little tap on the wrist. Because I don't think, as much as I would love to hold LSU 1,000% responsible for this, and let's throw him in NCAA jail. Let's limit scholarships. Let's take away recruiting visits. Let's ban them from postseason play. As much as I would love to think that should, you know, could happen, and this isn't like some lack of institutional control. You know, now maybe they need that. Now they'll do a better job in the future policing who's on the sidelines and what they can do. But I mean, I don't think you can really make a case that other than Odell Beckham Jr. acted alone in this and did this. But here's my okay. You want to give some players some money to go out and have a good time in the French Quarter? Great. Do it in the locker room.
Yeah, do it when no one's looking. And you need.
The problem is everyone's looking now.
Well, the thing is you could tell he knew he was on video. Like he knew.
That's
he was.
The whole reason he did it.
Yeah. Because he's not like he's like turning his back or and like putting it, no. You know, kind of getting it out of his pocket. Like he's sitting there and he almost does it in the way of like, you know, he throws out the wad of cash. He like licks his thumb, you know, like he's peeling them off. Like he knew
how it was. That's how the big timers do it. Right?
I mean, yeah, he looked like he was back in the champagne room at the strip club exactly. and just like he was about to throw it. I mean, he was so obvious about it.
Unwind the rubber band.
Yeah. I mean, it's so there was no subtlety to this all. And I don't think anything comes of it, even though I'm like you, Tommy. I'd wish something would.
Oh, I think 20 scholarships a year for the next 5 years is appropriate.
I think that's just a fair punishment.
But they're not going to do any of that.
Yeah. So, again, nothing's going to come of it. But
and you got to give the golden boot back to Arkansas on top of all that.
Man.
That might be the one thing they'll actually do. Well, as part of your punishment. You're going to have to relinquish the golden boot. And they'll say, what? The what?
Did they even take it with them? Is it still on the field after they beat Arkansas this past season?
It may still be sitting at War Memorial from the last time they played down there 5 years ago.
Yeah, there's no telling where it's at. 3 years ago. That poor trophy. Nobody likes it. Nobody wants it. That poor trophy. But here's the thing is like, you know, speaking of LSU and talking about the story, which again, we don't think anything would come from it. But as stories are starting to come out, Tommy, LSU and what they're losing this year. I mean, not only
seven players declared yesterday.
Yeah, seven players. There's probably going to be more. They're losing Joe Burrow. They've lost Joe Brady. Dave Aranda looks like he's possibly going to be moving on. Maybe possibly a head coaching job, something like that. He might be moving on. I mean, the SEC West in general is going to be interesting next year because. LSU has won a national championship, but I think we all believe that they're going to take a step back. They're not going to be what they were this year, next year. And there's just no way. There's no way. Alabama, you know, you don't know who the quarterback's going to be, what their situation's looking like, what Nick Saban and this defense is going to look like. You have no idea there. You have no idea what Auburn's going to look like, A&M's going to look like. It's Mike Leach, new coach. Lane Kiffin, new coach. Sam Pittman, new coach. There's just a lot of uncertainty about the SEC West next year.
Are LSU fans and this program to the point, though, they expect a national title again next year?
No.
Or are they going to be in this drunken stupor for two? They're not, because Alabama fans do. Well, that's great we won the national title this year, but what about next year? You know, that's the way Bama fans think. They think they should win it every year. I don't think LSU fans are quite to that level of insanity.
No. No.
And hey, listen, I'm all for high expectations, but, I mean, come on. I don't think LSU believes they're going to repeat as Western Division, SEC, or national champions at all. They're just happy to be here.
I think that they're a team that now it's like, okay, maybe not next year, but the year after or the year at, like they're going to be a program that expects to be in it once every 3 years.
I think that's right.
And I think that's fair. I just don't know if they're going to be that team. Because again, and I could be wrong because I was wrong about Eddie O. I was wrong about Ed Orgeron when he got hired. And so I'll probably be wrong about this too. I just don't see how LSU can be that team in that program where they – I just felt like this Auburn, past year was when everything went right.
Auburn kind of did it. Now, I know 2012 was a disaster that got Chizik fired, but they won it all in, what, 2011?
Technically, yeah, 2010 season, 2011.
2010 season, 2011 national champion. And then they were back in the title game the 2013 season. Mm-hmm. Now, that to me seemed a little more – I don't even think what Bama tries to do is reasonable, but I don't know. I just think it's interesting to see what the fans and that program's expectations were.
Well, and it's going to be about if Ed Orgeron can replace coaches at a high level with just as good coaches. Like, I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Same thing. Why is Nick Saban? He has a lot of reasons, but one of the big reasons, Nick Saban has had so much success that he's had. Winning multiple national championships is because when coaches have moved on, he's been able to bring in coaches that are just as good, maybe in some cases even better, to be able to continue to sustain the success that they've had. It's as simple as that. That's what he's been able to do. Because if you are, no matter what sport you're in, Like, look at Bill Belichick and the Patriots. How many assistant coaches have left to become head coaches or leave? I mean, a numerous
amount. Patricia
amounts.
Was one of the latest ones.
Yeah, Matt Patricia. I mean, you got Josh McDaniels that left at one point. Yeah. You had Charlie Weiss that left at one point. I mean, you've had a ton of coaches because when you have success, you lose the assistant coaches. And when coaches are able to continue on that success when losing those big-name guys, that's when you truly know you have something special in a head coach. Can Ed Orgeron be that guy where this wasn't just the perfect moment, the perfect season where all the stars aligned for you? Can you continue to be that coach when you do have that success to keep everybody in check?
See, but Saban's success is because he is such a strict disciplinarian, taskmaster, structured, all in place, farm system for coaches because he's brought in all these analysts, the Butch Jones scholarship program down there, all of that stuff. And I may be wrong, but Ed Orgeron doesn't strike me as the guy that's got a three-ring binder for every situation.
No. I think he's a guy that coaches love to coach with.
Right. I agree. And I think he's a great recruiter. And I mean, so is Saban, obviously. That's why Saban wins, because he gets the best players. I just don't think Orgeron has quite the same approach in how he goes about it. The system is the reason Alabama and the New England Patriots are so consistent.
The system.
It's because what we're really talking about is the consistency of what Saban and Belichick do. Well, why? Because they have this system in place that doesn't fail.
Mm-hmm.
And they're constantly improving that system.
Yeah. Those teams and programs, it's Apple.
And it's not just a system of, well, yeah, they went to the spread offense, so they run this. I'm not talking about offensive and defensive systems. I'm talking about the way they run their business. And I'm a big believer that Nick Saban could have not been a football coach and would have been a successful CEO of a Fortune 100 company.
Mm-hmm.
Belichick, same way, because of the way they put people in place to do the job, and they have a system in place. And have you watched that Art of Coaching deal on HBO yet?
Yes.
I mean, they talk a lot about communicating the job and the importance for making sure every individual person truly understands the value of what they do, how to do it, and why to do it. And I mean, just they dot every I, cross every T with every individual. That's a skill, man. That's just hard to do. We got 10 people working this building every day, and I can't get it done with 10 people. Can you imagine 300 people?
Nope.
I mean, that's why, because what we're talking about is the consistency that Alabama has in this division.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I was saying is that these programs like the Patriots and like the Alabama Crimson Tide and all that, it's like Apple, where they just continue to adjust. They continue to make new things. They continue because they have a system in place that works.
They're innovators. They're trendsetters.
Yes.
They show the way for everybody else to follow.
Mm-hmm. Because it's we make the joke, but there's a lot of legitimacy to it of Alabama, especially Nick Saban. Nick Saban changed college football entirely, where no longer are coaches getting 4 to 5 years to get it going at their program. That's no longer. And it has nothing to do with I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that mentality's changed. It was because of Nick Saban, and they saw the success in these big blue blood programs. Like, you have to be that. Whatever coach comes in, you have to be that. And if you're not, you're gone.
He's gotten a lot of coaches big raises. Because when he came in, like, he was making $4 million a year, and everybody thought that was nuts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now he's making $8 million a year and everybody else making four or more. So he's gotten a lot of people paid, but he's gotten a lot of people fired too.
Yes, he has. I mean,
and the only thing they're guilty of is not being Nick Saban.
And he's gotten a lot of people have to leave and change. Like what Urban Meyer left Florida only strictly because of Nick Saban. I don't care what anybody says. He left Florida because he could.
I got another theory, but.
There's probably a few.
I'll talk about that in the fourth hour.
Yeah, and there's probably a few things why. But I believe that it was because he saw the writing on the wall with Nick Saban coming into the SEC, and he's like, nope, I want to go to a place where I'm the guy.
Are you saying he lied about his health issues?
I know. Stop traffic, that Urban Meyer was not exactly honest about something. But I believe that that's why he left. Nick Saban changed everything. Because, Tommy, if you even look at the example of Les Miles at LSU, like, he was a phenomenal coach that was winning an average of like 10 or 11 games a year. And in the past, that was enough. Even if you only won one title game, look at some of the coaches that were around that were doing that. It just changed everything where these big, especially with the big programs, that if you're not Nick Saban, if you're not resulting like Nick Saban, we're going to find somebody that will. And it's just impossible to do.
The Morning Rush is brought to you by NWA Gold and Silver in Bentonville and in Fayetteville. They're closing their doors, and right now you can save up to 70% off on the state's largest selection of fine jewelry. This is over $3 million worth of inventory that has to be liquidated. It's perfect just in time for Valentine's Day. We're just under a month from Valentine's Day. If you want to save on a diamond engagement ring, diamond earrings, necklaces, pendants, you can save up to 70% off during this going out of business sale at NWA Gold and Silver. 1130 North Walton in Bentonville and in Nelson's Crossing by Jason's Deli in Fayetteville. That's 70% off just in time for Valentine's Day during the going out of business sale at NWA Gold and Silver in Bentonville and in Fayetteville. So how does Sam Pittman talk about this consistency in the way it's done, how the sausage is made that has changed the way college football is done? How does Sam Pittman figure out how to get a slice of that?
Here's my theory behind it all.
Or has he already?
And here's my hope behind it all. If this year was any indication with Sam Pittman of the assistant coaches that he brought in, if Sam Pittman has high-level success at Arkansas, I have faith that he can continue to bring in big time assistants when other assistant coaches leave, if they have that success. To me, that again, there's many reasons why Nick Saban's been successful, but to me, that shows how well of a coach or how good of a coach, how high level of a coach you are in college football, especially that if you're able to churn out great assistant coaches who leave and you replace them with great ones again.
That was the secret to Frank Broyles' success for couple decades up there.
Because we've seen different ways to skin a cat when it comes to coaches. I mean, Bobby Petrino, can you name an assistant coach that went on to do great under Bobby Petrino? No, because that's not how he ran the program, but he was still a successful coach. He found success in that. And honestly, we've seen programs, and you know, we mentioned the Patriots and all the coaches that left. Really, none of the coaches that were under Bill Belichick have done well as head coaches. You may even make the argument under Nick Saban in Alabama. Really, the only one that's been is Kirby Smart. He's the only one that's found success. The rest of them, whether it's Jim McElwain or somebody like that that's moved on, Mike McIntyre, these coaches just, they didn't find that high-level success. They weren't able to capture a lot of that success that they had under Nick Saban. So a lot of times it's just about you turning out those assistant coaches. They may not stay. They may not do really well as they get outside the program. But still, if you're a coach that has that, if you're a coach that has that ability to bring in guys who want to coach for you, big name coaches, like if Arkansas, say, in the next 3 years really got it going and Kendall Briles got another head coaching job or Barry Odom got another head coaching job, are you a good enough coach to where, all right, I wish you the best of luck. All right, next man up. All right, which one of these other big time coordinators are out here that's looking to come in? Yes, please. I want to coach with you, Coach Saban or Coach Pittman. You do a phenomenal job. You can bring me to my next point in my coaching career. You can get me a job. Because similar to what players want, Tommy, and they want to get to the next level in the NFL, it's the same thing with assistant coaches.
Coaches will be head coaches.
They want to go to a program that's going to put them in best position. Why do they always go to Alabama? Why is Butch Jones being an intern at Alabama?
Because everybody wants to hire a Saban assistant to be their next head coach.
Exactly.
A Saban coordinator in particular.
And that's what you want if you're Arkansas and Sam Pittman. You want to be that program to where you can bring in guys because they know, and hey, if I coach with Sam Pittman, he's going to be able to have a program put in place that people are going to want to hire me.
Is that realistic here? I mean, Saban's that way because the success has followed. The championships and the divisions and the titles and
I think it
playoff
is, Tommy.
Appearances. Can you be that kind of destination for coaches if you're not winning at the highest of levels?
I think you can be. I think you can be. Because I think that he's hired a bunch of great coaches now. Great assistant coaches now.
Bielema had a great initial staff.
But what was Bielema's problem? When he had to replace them,
He couldn't.
Yeah. And that's the key. And to everything. You know, because I think if Bielema, many things, but if Bielema just would have been able to keep that staff as long and then didn't make disastrous hires after people like Sam Pittman left, there's no telling what the program could have looked like and could have been. But I also think that people saw the writing on the wall of saying, I'm an assistant coach, I want to coach with Brett Bielema. I hear he's got all types of issues I don't want to be around. It's also a big part of it, too. So as a head coach,
the way you handle your business.
Yeah, because coaches know coaches, and they talk. There's coaching circles all over the place. They know, and they don't want to go and coach for a guy that's going to be a disaster. But if you're a coach like a Sam Pittman who can get it going and is great to coach with, great to coach for, can put you in position, I think it can be done at a place like Arkansas. And I think if somebody's going to be doing it, it's going to be somebody like Sam Pittman. So we'll just have to wait and see. Hopefully that ends up happening. I hope assistant coaches are awesome under Sam Pittman, because that means Arkansas is doing well as well.
Recruiting Thursday on the Morning Rush. Richard Davenport with us in about 20 minutes. So hang out for that big recruiting weekend coming up in Fayetteville. We'll talk more about that with RD in just a bit.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, gluten-free with no artificial flavors.
Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number 30, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Welcome back into the Morning Rush. We've been talking about this Arkansas victory last night against Vanderbilt and previewing a little bit of Arkansas-Kentucky coming up this Saturday. It's going to be a great game in Bud Walton Arena. And to help us talk about it, let's go to the phone lines and welcome in Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Tom. How you doing, man?
Hey, guys, it's a lovely day and a pleasure to be with you.
Well, it's always good to have you on, and I want to start, of course, with last night's victory. Arkansas over Vanderbilt, they beat them by 20, and it wasn't because of Mason Jones, who only had 1 point, and really it wasn't because of Isaiah Joe. He ended up getting hot late, but didn't really do anything in the first half. It was about Jimmy Witt going for 30 points. I know that he's a good player and can do a lot of good things, but if you were going to tell me Jimmy Witt was going to go for 30 points last night, I probably wouldn't have believed you, Tom.
Well, he just doesn't usually get that type of opportunity. 23 shots, which is a ton of shots. It's a really odd game in terms of Isaiah Joe, Mason Jones being shut out in the first half. And it's two games in a row now that Jones hasn't been a big offensive producer. I mean, he's been a good facilitator and rebounder. But I think against Kentucky, you'd like to see him be on his game a little bit more. But it just so happened against that zone that Vanderbilt ran a lot of the game, that Witt was able to get into the creases, get his mid-range going, his mid-range game going, which everyone seems to kind of fawn over when they see it, because it's so rare these days in the game. And I heard Jerry Stackhouse talking about it last night. But, I think Arkansas is in decent shape to get ready for this Kentucky game. I wish Eric Musselman had gone to his bench and given the guys like Henderson and Silla and Jamario Bell a little bit more playing time toward the end of the game. But you're supposed to beat a team like Vandy, which was outmanned and injured, and Arkansas did so by 20.
Mason Jones was 0-for-7 in the game from the floor. He got the 1 point John mentioned. Why was that? Was it just an off night for Mason Jones, or did you see anything Vanderbilt was doing defensively?
It was a zone, and he wasn't hitting his three ball. And I don't know if, just a small shooting slump or just what's going on. But if Arkansas is going to achieve the things that, you know, could be in its sights later, then Mason Jones got to be a big part of that. And I think when he's driving, and it's harder to do that against the zone, I suppose, but when he's driving and getting contact and getting to the rim a little more often, it complements his three-point shooting. And I'd like to see more of that in the future.
Speaking with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the Morning Rush. You know, Tom, it's just amazing that they're sitting at 14-2, 3-1 in conference play. It's just 6 wins away from getting to 20 wins, which I know is not the absolute gold number to get to the tournament, but it would certainly be a great season if Arkansas did that. Just kind of looking at and previewing a little bit more of the conference slate, I mean, is there just kind of an expectation you have for this team now that you've seen a little bit more in conference play, 10-8, 11-7, just kind of looking at the schedule, what do you think is going to happen the rest of the way?
Well, I just think hold serve at home. I mean, if you beat Kentucky, you've got another quadrant one win. And, you know, the road wins at Indiana, Georgia Tech, they're not going away. I mean, they stay with you, and they're good wins. And you heard the announcers on TV last night talking about how they should be ranked. And I think, obviously, if they beat Kentucky on Saturday, they'll probably wind up in the AP top 25, which is neither here nor there, but it gets your name out there a little bit more to other areas of the country that might not be as aware of what's happening in the SEC. But certainly the net rankings and the other analytics are giving the Razorbacks the credit that they've earned so far. And they're just gritty, and they're in every game. It's amazing. The team that beat Ole Miss on Saturday, there have been years past where if they'd been down 11 midway through the second half, it just wouldn't have come together for them. And Eric Musselman even talked about that in his presser on Monday, that there's teams that they're down 11, and then it balloons up to 16, 17, and they get it back down to 8 or 9, and then they end up losing by a dozen points. Well, Arkansas hasn't done that at all this year. I mean, and certainly at some point they're going to lose a game by, you know, a handy figure, but it hasn't happened. They're a veteran team, and I think it took them a while to kind of get the feel for what to do against that zone last night, but they did it. And Eric Musselman is a sharp guy, and he's got a great staff, and this team is going to be fun to see develop. I just like to see him be able to get to that bench with more certainty and confidence, and that's why Reggie Chaney's performance last night was huge for them.
South Carolina made a game-winning shot at the buzzer last night to beat Kentucky. What was your first thought or reaction when you saw that news just prior to just at the beginning of, of Arkansas's game last night?
Well, I happen to be able to listen to that game. I'm going to the Bobby Petrino press conference this morning, guys, in Springfield.
Well, but I happen to listen. Let's get to that in a minute, then. So,
I happen to listen to that game on the way up, and you know, Kentucky was leading by 14 points in the second half, and South Carolina wasn't shooting well, but they kept driving. Kentucky really had trouble stopping the penetration. And so I think for Arkansas, that's why Mason Jones has got to be more of a driver. And Desi Steele in this game. Isaiah Joe, get inside and give yourself a chance. And they got hot late from three-point range too. But Kentucky's a very good team, very talented. But they got cold in the second part of the second half, and South Carolina was able to take advantage of that.
Speaking with Tom Murphy here on the Morning Rush on the from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Tom, just looking at the Kentucky game real quick, I feel like this is not going to be good for Arkansas in this game just because of, like you mentioned, our Kentucky losing last night. It's hard for them to lose two in a row in a week. But as far as the matchup goes, do you think Arkansas can match up well with the Wildcats and all the talent that they have?
They're going to have to shoot well because you know Kentucky's going to dribble drive on them and try to get inside and get fouls on, you know, Arkansas's key guys. Adriel Bailey's going to have to play better than he did the other day. And, you know, Arkansas out-rebounded Vandy handily, and that's been a pretty rare occurrence for them. But Kentucky's, their big men like Richards, they're more agile guys. And they're, you know, they're powerful. So, yeah. And they're more experienced. So handling those guys is going to be huge. And then they got fast guys like Maxey and Hagans and Quickley on the perimeter, so they can run a lot of guys at you, and not allowing the penetration is going to be huge for Arkansas, and then they've got to get inside some. And I think if they shoot from three-point range well, they'll certainly be in the game.
So you mentioned you're on your way to the Bobby Petrino press conference with Missouri State. That's just under an hour away. What are you expecting to hear from Arkansas's former head coach?
Oh, how excited he is to be back in the game. He's fired up. He likes to use that word. I looked on his recent Twitter activity. Since the convention in Nashville, he's gotten a little bit more active. I just think he's got it in his blood, and, you know, he wants to coach. And I believe that, and I also think he'll probably turn Missouri State into a contender. I mean, they've been on hard times here for quite a while, and we know that he can coach quarterbacks up and get people to play hard, and he's got good schemes, so just kind of fascinated to see. And, of course, we all know in 2022, if he's still in Missouri State, they'll be coming to Fayetteville for a football game, and everybody will get lit up for that one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if he'll even make it that long, because if he gets up Missouri State turned around quickly, I'm sure he'll have another big college football job waiting for him. That's just the Bobby Petrino way, if you will. That's what he always does. Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, always appreciate you joining us. Tom, have a great weekend, man. We'll catch up with you next Tuesday, all right?
You bet. Sounds great. See y'all.
I appreciate it, man. 877-377-6963 is the number to call or text in. Coming up next, though, Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette joins to talk a little recruiting on this Recruiting Thursday. Third hour of the Morning Rush coming up.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Follow the show on Twitter at HitThatLineAR.
Should be a big weekend this weekend for Arkansas basketball, obviously taking on Kentucky. And anytime you have a big basketball event, you know it's always a big recruiting event as well in a recruiting weekend. And we're going to talk about all things recruiting as we welcome in Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Richard. How are you doing this morning, man?
Doing well, sir. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always good to have you on, especially leading up into this weekend, and we'll start right there. Arkansas-Kentucky basketball game, it's always a big deal no matter what, but people are expecting 20,000 people at that game. The atmosphere is going to be electric, and I'm sure that that's big for not only basketball recruits, but for football recruits as well. What's this weekend looking like as far as football? We'll start with there. I know Felipe Franks and has had that story going on, but what's the overall vibe in the weekend looking like for Razorback football recruiting?
Well, you know, you got 9 signees, 3 commitments, so you want to finish out this class and figure it's going to the class will probably end up around 2021. And you leave a few spots for transfers, but anyway, right now I got 13 guys coming in. And like you said, Franks obviously is the one a lot of people are interested in. He's supposed to be in tomorrow with his dad. Then you got a mixture of offense, defense, and some guys that are committed and some guys that want to get committed. And Savion Williams is probably the one that a lot of fans are interested in because he was committed to Arkansas, the receiver from Marshall, Texas. 6'4", 215, guy that played mostly quarterback this year after the quarterback was dismissed from the team, but he's a guy that went to SMU in December, had a really, really good visit, sounded like he was about to pull the trigger for the Mustangs, but his relationship with Justin Stepp kept him from doing that, I think, and just that relationship's huge, and I think that's going to help Arkansas going forward, and to be able to get him, and you know, he may not be the most highly rated receiver that Arkansas has been on in the last few years, but I'm telling you, I think that he has his upside is as good as anybody's. Yeah. Anyway, just a good mixture of kids, and Broderick Jones, a 5-star offensive lineman from Georgia, he's supposed to be in with his mother, so like I said, good mixture of offense, defense.
You know, some of the other important things when it comes to recruiting is also recruiting the players that have been on the roster, the ones you really need to build around, and younger players. I saw now that you're entering the spring academic semester, you're kind of getting a feel for who's entering transfer portals and who's going to be back. I saw where TQ Jackson, a guy that was highly coveted a year ago when they recruited him in, a 4-star wide receiver, has put his name in the portal.
Yeah, and, you know, that was somewhat of a surprise. I was asking a few people that that know TQ, and they didn't see it coming, but maybe obviously his immediate family did. But very talented young man, and, you know, just because he's in the portal doesn't mean he'll stay or he'll, you know, definitely leave Arkansas. He can always pull out, but it seems like that his intent is to leave, but you know, you wish him the best and hope he gets help for, you know, whatever, you know, he's going through.
Richard, let's talk about this quarterback situation, guys. I find it fascinating with Felipe Franks taking this visit to Arkansas, and I know that a guy like De'Eriq King is getting a lot of traction, too, especially with the connection that he has with Kendall Briles. Those two specific guys, what do you make of both of their games? How much could they help Arkansas if one of them committed, and is there one that you feel like would be a bigger impact for Arkansas immediately? Just give us a thought and opinion on both of those players if one of them decided to come to Arkansas.
Yeah, well, you know, with Franks, I think, you know, when it was announced that he was visiting, I think some of the fans weren't exactly thrilled for whatever reason. But if you look at his sophomore year, he had a very good sophomore year and led him to a bowl game and was very effective. He's a guy who would give you SEC experience, which, you know, you definitely need. You don't have much experience on campus right now. You don't have a proven quarterback. He is proven on the SEC level. He was hurt last year. So the 1 year that he had that, you know, he had a full season, he was very effective on the SEC level. As far as King, I get mixed messages on him. One person, from what I understand, thinks that Arkansas has a shot at landing him, and another person I talked to said he expects him to go to a more established program than Arkansas is right now. But, you know, we know how that is. You just don't know until he starts announcing stuff.
Having basketball back to near an all-time high as far as atmosphere, not obviously in wins on the floor, but you know, the atmosphere last night for a weeknight game was good. We're expecting Saturday to be the best it's been in who knows how long. How big an aid is that in the recruiting process? Because we always know that you look at those basketball weekends and pick out those big ones for recruiting in January, and this one's going to be the big one. It used to be that way when the signing day was February, but how big a boost is it when they take them there for a half or most of the ball game? Does that atmosphere at basketball really substitute for what they can't really show in football on the visits in the fall?
I think you make a good point, Tommy, because you have a full house, and you know, and we know how crazy it's going to be on Saturday. A lot of these out-of-state kids have never been around a crowd, Razorback crowd. And like you said, obviously there won't be any experience that they can duplicate as far as football, but as far as basketball, they can imagine three times more fans in Razorback Stadium and how loud it could be, because you walk into an arena like Bud Walton Arena and just see the fans and the passion that they have. That's impressive. And let's face it, when previous years they've had 6,000, maybe 10,000 people, and you have a lot of empty seats, that doesn't make such a great impact on a kid to say than, you know, 20,000. So I think it definitely aids Arkansas in football.
Because just the football atmosphere is, when you invite someone to a lot of the home games, it's been lackluster at best. So, I mean, to really try to show them what the atmosphere of Razorback games can be like, this is really a heaven sent, if you will, for Sam Pittman.
You know, and a lot of the kids talk about, I mean, and obviously all the coaches in all sports sell Arkansas, one school, you know, you're the pros, Arkansas is the pro team, everybody's, you know, a Razorback fan. And when you get to experience it and so many of the kids talk about the passion of the fans, and they want to go. You want to go to a place that has passion. It's important to the fan base, and it's a motivational thing too to a lot of these kids. You know, they know they got the support of the fans, and you get to see it in an atmosphere like Bud Walton Arena on Saturday. It can't help but help.
Richard, we had a person text into our show wanting us to ask you about Tykeus Crawford. Do you have any updates on him, anything? Because I know the Arkansas obviously needs all the help they can get on the offensive line. What's his situation?
No, I mean, hadn't been any movement there since Coach Pittman's been in Fayetteville. And usually shy away from stuff like this, but Tykeus did tweet out an offer from a JC school. So, you know, you might be able to figure that out a little bit, but I don't anticipate anything happening there. Okay. I wish him the best. He's a great kid.
So is that the route he'll probably go as JC?
I don't know. You never know. There's been kids that I've been told that there's no way that they're going to be able to get into a four-year school, and bam, they end up at a four-year school. So don't want to speculate.
That's why you need to know an admissions officer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. Well, Richard, just looking at the general recruiting class for 2020, I think fans are interested to see kind of what's the best case scenario as far as rankings go and all of that this year. Knowing what they have in store, knowing what Sam Pittman and this coaching staff the guys are trying to go after, as far as a ranking goes, what's a realistic option? What's the best case scenario as far as stacking up not only against the country in recruiting classes, but also in the SEC? Where do you think the best case scenario for Arkansas's rankings can be this year?
Oh man. I mean, that's a, you know, it's really looking in the crystal ball, and how they finish and all that. Some of the kids that they have coming in this weekend, if they're able to close, and, you know, especially you get a Broderick Jones, a five-star kid who is like number one or number two in the country as an offensive tackle. You get a kid like him and some of these other guys, probably 30 to 40, I guess. That's a total guess, but I think that would be the best case scenario. And remember, Coach Morris's class, but he only signed 17, so obviously the less you sign, that does impact your ranking as far as your total points. His ESPN had him number 51, so and I think Coach Pittman and the staff's going to sign a few more than that.
Seems fair enough, because it's just right, the people get so wrapped up in rankings, and which is, you know, justifiable for the most part, but I think it's really important for this year to not necessarily, you know, be able to have something that is going to excite fans for the purposes of having a great recruiting class, but like we were talking about with the quarterback situation, I just feel like if you were able to get a Felipe Franks, and especially if you're able to get a De'Arik King, like that just sends the excitement for Razorback fans and football through the roof. And I'm thinking a lot of Razorback fans are just hoping that they can get one of those players, just one player, maybe two, of guys that they can really look forward to making an impact in their first year on campus, because Arkansas just needs that type of playmaker. They have great players. They got a Treylon Burks. They got Rakeem Boyd. They know that they're going to have those guys this year. But I know a lot of Razorback fans are just hoping that maybe they can steal one in this recruiting class and really have somebody to point to. So you feel like it could be that running back that you mentioned?
Which running back?
Was it the Broderick Johnson? Is that?
Oh, Broderick Jones. I'm sorry.
Jones, yeah.
Tackle.
Yeah, oh, offensive tackle. Like, okay, my apologies.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. But, you know, like with Franks or King, I mean, we've seen what inconsistency at quarterback has done for Arkansas the last few years. So if you could somehow get a guy that could start just about every game, finish the games, and be consistent, complete about 60% of his passes, keep the touchdown interception ratio to a good ratio, you know, that only increases your chances of winning. I mean, that's just common sense. So, you know, to be able to get one of those two guys, and that would obviously create a lot of excitement and sell tickets.
That's what Razorback fans, and that's what the University of Arkansas needs a lot, is just to get people excited about the program. But they close out really well in this recruiting class. I'm sure that is a very good possibility. Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat is that. Always appreciate it, Richard. Man, have a great weekend. We'll catch you with you next week, all right?
All right, buddy. We'll see you guys.
All right, appreciate it as always, Richard.
Yeah, that atmosphere is going to be a real boost. I mean, because, you know, not that it's been bad at basketball games in January, and it doesn't mean as much as it used to, but I remember – it was always a big deal to have a big home Saturday game, you know, that like mid-January, because when National Signing Day in February was everything, it was just critical.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to rely on your football atmospheres to carry you. Well, most places, not a problem. At Arkansas in the past, not a problem. Last few years, problem.
Yeah.
So I think this Saturday, for those you're trying to get turned around, but also the 2021s and the people you're looking at down the road, it's a great way to really show off what it can be about.
Because mm-hmm.
it may be a while before that football atmosphere gets back to a level where it's you're not having to explain it.
Yeah.
Because right now you're going to have to explain why there's 42,000 people in the stands at kickoff.
Yeah. And it's not an ideal situation to be in. But, you know, you brought up that time the way that things would be as far as the excitement for basketball games. I remember distinctly the 2012 Michigan game on Saturday in basketball, Mike Anderson's first year, and Bobby Petrino brought in, it was like the Dorrell Green Beckham visit that he was on, and just what a big deal it was. Like, you had Torrey Hunter in the stands, and that wasn't even as big of a deal as having Dorrell Green Beckham there mm-hmm. and those recruits, because recruiting was everything. And that was the big game on Saturday. The atmosphere was electric, and that's what you want. That's the type of atmosphere that you do want. And I'm sure it does go a long way with these coaches, because people love energy. Recruits love energy, and if they can go into a place and see the energy, even if it's for the sport that they're not playing, that it resonates with them and something that they remember.
It's another reason to be even louder on Saturday. It's another reason to show up as a fan and really, you know, as a collective whole, the Royal We put on a show, not just to beat Kentucky, which is obviously priority 1, 2, and 3, but somewhere in that list is just creating a great atmosphere that helps football recruiting. Secondary, but you know, a lot of places it becomes primary. You know, in Alabama, that's primary. They'll have bigger they will have bigger crowds for basketball games at Alabama on a Saturday that they know Saban's bringing the recruits. Because they'll announce in advance, hey, they're going to honor Coach Saban, you know, in a lot of years. They won't, probably won't do much this year.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to honor the football team for, you know, for winning their bowl game or college football playoff or whatever it is in that year. You know, I guess this Saturday they'll work it in somewhere there that Pittman and maybe they'll welcome Barry Odom and Kendall Briles officially in front of the crowd and call the Hogs and see the kind of ovation they get. They'll do something that's football related.
Oh, yeah.
To show off a little bit.
Yeah. But and it's funny because I think it was maybe Bob Hull that asked Eric Musselman back during media days and whatnot, way back before the season even started. He asked him, hey, you have recruits that you have and you come visit football games.
Yep.
How difficult is that for you to say, all right, 20,000 people, this place is great. Place is great. Great, great fan base. I'm sure it's fairly difficult to have that. And that's why it's important to, you know, all, was it the rising tides lift all ships? It's
all boats.
Yeah. Well, however it is. That is another element that you can throw in when it comes to the athletic department is, I mean, if you have kids coming to a baseball game, if you have recruits, whether it's football, basketball, whatever, they go to a Razorback baseball game and it's the super regional or something like that. Or just anything, or just name a big series. You're playing LSU. I mean, that's awesome. But you're not going to take them to the game when there's four people in the stands and you know, you can't hear anything. There's no energy. It just doesn't do well for you and your program, even though it has nothing to do with your program.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's always important to make sure that all of these things are going to go perfectly. And I know that Sam Pittman, I guarantee you, he's going to go up to Eric Musselman and say, sir, thank you. Thank you for having a product and on this court that we can come and bring kids to where there's going to be 20,000 people in the stands because that helps us.
It's a godsend. It's a heaven sin. I mean, I'm telling you, it's manna to help this football program.
You're getting biblical on it.
I'm telling you, they need something biblical. They need to turn some water into wine or something to get this football program fixed. They need, because it's Lazarus right now, buddy. They got to raise it from the dead.
Okay, you were jumping all over. You were going New Testament, Old Testament.
Paid attention in Sunday school.
You know, wandering in the wilderness for 40 years.
Well, it feels like that's what we've been doing.
I was waiting for that one. I thought you were going to throw that one
in.
I've
used that one up a little bit.
Yeah, you got to mix it up.
We're hoping that Sam Pittman is our Moses, yes.
I mean,
that's where the program is at. Lazarus, come forth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where it's at.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
And you just need little things that become big things, like a good Saturday. I mean, it's just very beneficial to have Kentucky come into town this particular weekend. And then it's on a Saturday, and that's where it falls in the schedule.
Mm-hmm. This is big. This is a big one. And I expect to have a lot of commitments coming out of this, honestly, from Sam Pittman and this football team. Because it seems like anytime you do have that big atmosphere, it at least get one kid that's like, yep, this is where I want to be. Mm-hmm. This is where I want to be. So,
I mean, listen, the catfish and the hush puppies at Catfish Hole are great, but that's not enough always.
See, why'd you have Why'd you have to bring up food?
To make you hungry?
Yeah, because it's just, I'm always starving in the mornings, and you bring up something like that. But, those are the things that Arkansas, you know, they utilize their strengths, and at the strength of this program right now is the basketball atmosphere that's going to have Kentucky on Saturday. And if they add it into a win, boy, I tell you. Dixon may not rest that night. I'm just telling you right now, it's going to be a fantastic game. Not only for the recruits, but also just the fact, you're playing Kentucky.
We all need to enjoy it.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.